Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say what did factor into my decision to come to Boston is it feels good to me to go to a place now where, you know what, it's easy to hate the Yankees, right? It's easy to go out and have that rivalry and go in it with full steam ahead. I like the challenge. I appreciate the challenge. I accept the challenge. But this time around, it's just go out and be yourself. Don't try to be anything other than yourself. And if people don't like it, it is what it is. I am who I am, and I'm okay with that. New York wasn't a good situation for me. Wasn't a great setup for me and my family. I never wanted to go there in the first place. When that was kind of happening, when we were in Oakland, and you know I was getting traded. That was a long time ago. I never wanted to go there. So then I was there, and it just didn't really work for kind of who I am. And
you're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Final hour, it's your final hour here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We got the Arcan Fire coming your way in about a half hour. We got clickbait at quarter of. We got a good one for clickbait tonight. And what I want to do here, since we've spent most of the day and night talking about football and the Patriots, and it is a Patriots Monday on Tuesday. And if you want to talk Patriots, you certainly can at 617-779-7937. We've been taking Patriots calls all night. I will continue to do that. If you want to call and talk Patriots, I'm not going to turn you away. But I did want to dedicate an entire segment here to the Red Sox and to this offseason and to some of the stuff that's been floating out in the ether here since last week, really, since we had Sean McAdam on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. He had some nuggets in there about this team, and I asked him if the Sonny Gray thing was the last big, you know, move that they're going to make in the rotation, and he said, yeah, I think it probably is, unless they make another trade, implying that money-wise, this team is not really, if you were expecting them to go above and beyond and, you know, get up into the Steve Cohen tax brackets of the world here, it may not be coming that way. And this was the quote that circulated all around over the weekend. According to an industry source familiar with the organization's thinking, the Red Sox are okay going over the first CBT threshold, which is set at $244 million for 2026. That would translate to them absorbing a modest financial loss. I said this last night. I know they're not going to open up their books and tell us what, you know, what it really looks like. But it's very hard to fathom that this team would be operating at a financial loss. It's just hard to believe that. It really is. But that's what they're saying. Anything beyond that, McAdam says, there's a reluctance to incur bigger deficits. I don't know. It says that this was a source familiar with the organization's thinking. That's a pretty broad way. It's not a source inside the organization. It could be, but that's not how it's being framed. A a source familiar with the organization's thinking. It's Sean, so I'm going to take this very, very seriously. No one's ever 100% right, but I don't think that this would have been something he'd pass along if it wasn't pretty solid. And if that's the way this offseason, if that's the lens through which this offseason is being viewed through, then you got a real problem here. You got a real big problem here. Because last offseason was great. It went about as well as it could have. And that was a mix of shrewd free agent signings, trades, extensions after trading for certain players, and last-minute godfather offers to guys like Alex Bregman, $40 million a year with the last 2 years voided or, you know, able to be voided. And almost everything they did this past offseason clicked, except for Walker Buehler. But basically everything else was a pretty solid acquisition. And all of those guys ended up, I think they were all-stars. They were the only three all-stars they had, right, were those three guys. It was Chapman, Crochet, and Bregman. So your three all-stars. You had Jaren Duran take a step back. You had Bregman sort of fade in the second half. Everybody in the offense other than two guys, Trevor Story and Masa Yoshida, really faded in the second half. You had devastating injuries to the pitching staff. But despite all of that, Red Sox fans recognized what they were seeing. They recognized that this team was maybe shedding some of that baggage from the last couple of years. And through the collaboration of the team and the front office and the ownership and everybody else getting involved with these trades and spending money and what have you, it seemed like all three, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were all pulling in the same direction. Okay, who's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this analogy? I guess John Henry's the Father, the Son is Alex Cora, and the Holy Spirit is Craig Breslow. I don't know. Best I can do. But, you know, they're all pulling in the same direction. The Holy Trinity. They're all pulling in the same direction. That's what it looked like.
That's a better analogy. Right,
that's there. What it seemed like. That's what the Holy Trinity is. So, you know, that's what it seemed like. I'm a reverend. I can talk about these things. So with that, you look at this upcoming offseason. You look at this move that already got made. Sonny Gray, who, by the way, I love that whole little diatribe there from Sonny Gray. No better way to get on my good side than to show up, try on your little hat, and start trashing the Yankees. That's how you get me on your side, Sonny. Not that you needed to do much convincing. I was already a fan of the Sonny Gray trade. Now I'm a huge fan of it. I already knew he didn't like the Yankees. He didn't like playing there. He didn't want to be there. But to hear him say it, was great.
Also,
made me feel good.
Also, if you see the video version of this press conference, he was wearing a 2007 World Series hat.
I saw that. 2007. Interesting.
And I know that one has a fond place in your heart.
It certainly does. I was there. I watched Jonathan Papelbon strike out Seth Smith and celebrated on the field. My friend was there. He got some dirt off the field. He gave it to me. I still have it somewhere. I still have dirt from the field from when I won in 2007. I also almost got kicked out of that game because my friend who I went to the game with insulted the state of Wyoming, and we happened to be sitting next to two people from Wyoming, and they wanted to fight my friend, and I stood up, and then we eventually, cooler heads prevailed. They hadn't even sung the national anthem yet. We almost got kicked out before the game even started. But luckily, no punches were thrown, and I got to watch my Red Sox, and I got to watch Papelbon. Everybody gathered around home plate and watched Jonathan Papelbon dance around in his jockstrap. It was great. It was a great, great day. Great night. You know, in Denver, there's a bar. I don't know if it's still there, but there was at the time in 2007, a bar called the Poorhouse, and it was a Boston sports bar. And of course, on, you know, Boylston Street for years and years and years was the Poorhouse. It's gone now. I forget what it's called now, but it was there for a long, long time, and I had a lot of great nights there. And one of the best nights I ever had in Denver was after they won the World Series. We all went over to the Poorhouse, and all these other Red Sox fans was like roof deck, and there was a DJ. And we left before that happened, but I guess like Mike Lowell and Josh Beck and some other guys all showed up later on that night. We weren't there for it. We were too banged up, so we ended up taking a cab home. But it was a great, great night. Great night. Anyway, big fan of the Sonny Gray signing. Big fan of that, or the Sonny Gray trade, I should say. I like that trade a lot. But as I said at the time, and I wasn't the only one who said this, lots of people said this. If that's all they're doing, if that's their big move, if that's their big addition to the pitching staff, and they're not really thinking that they can go more than one big bat because of the financial burden that that's going to cause for them, operating at a loss, which, again, really, a loss? Yeah? Okay. Can you try and find that chart, Joe? It was a just hit me right now while I was talking about it. There was a chart that came out at the end of the year, and it showed all the teams and what they spent on players and what their total revenue was for the year. And I can't remember where the Red Sox were on it or what their total net revenue was. But I know that they were like, you know, 13th or 14th in total payroll. So not even in the top 10, I know that. And I know that they made a lot of money last year, which makes it hard to really wrap my head around the idea that they'd be operating at a loss. But if you can't find it, it's no big deal. I'm pulling this on you on the spot. But that was something that I just sprang to mind. Because what would that mean? Mathematically, like, what would that mean? If they incur operating a loss would mean that everything else that they do, it costs how much? Because it doesn't seem like that's the case. By the way, the Celtics have roared back in the second quarter after a tough first quarter, and they lead the Knicks by 7 points going into halftime. It's about 2 minutes left. They're up 56-49. So there you go.
I got it right here.
Bruins are getting their ass kicked by the Red Wings. It's 5-2 in Detroit. Hit me with some of those numbers, will you?
So hold on, I'm just gonna exit out of this right here. The top for 2024 revenue, the Mets were the top, and then their payroll plus tax was $400 million for this year, so they had a 90% payroll slash revenue. So it's essentially what they spent almost all the money they made in terms of revenue.
Okay.
The Red Sox on that list were 23rd, $574 million in their 2024 revenue. $242 million was their payroll plus tax, so they spent about 42%.
Okay, maybe the Mets are operating at a lot. I don't know, but unless all these teams are operating on a loss, every single one of them, basically, I have a hard time understanding how the Red Sox are when they had what was their number for total net revenue. Again,
2024 revenue was $574 million.
$574 million, and 242 of it went to the players, roughly. So that's $300 million, give or take. A little less, I guess. $300 million. They made $300 million, and they are operating on a lot. Like, really? Okay. If you say so, I can't. We're not privy to the books. But that does seem far fetched to me, doesn't it? Seems a little far-fetched. Real quick, Jeff Passan today. It was not just Jeff Passan. It was Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel had a list ranking players who could be traded in terms of, like, how good the players are and how likely they are to be traded, etc. Number one, for example, just to give you a hint of the idea of this list, number one, Tarek Skubal. They talk about how good he is, chances of getting traded 10%, team fits, Mets, Dodgers, Orioles, Yankees, Red Sox, Giants. We can all dream together about Tarek Skubal and Garrett Crochet. 10% chance, I think that's high. Ketel Marte, 40% chance of getting traded. He's number two, second baseman for the D-backs. Red Sox, they could use a second baseman. Freddy Peralta, starter for the Brewers, 25% chance of getting traded. Hunter Green, 10% chance. Byron, I like Big Buxton of the Twins, 35% chance. Then how about Joe Ryan? 50% chance of getting traded. Team fits, Red Sox, Mets, Orioles, Rangers, Giants, Astros. And they write, for all the rumors about Ryan at the deadline, the Twins never came close to finalizing a deal. If the cost remains high for free agent pitching, teams could turn to trades to fill their rotation holes, at which point Minnesota, again, would be a good match for just about anyone. Having three of the eight best trade candidates is a good place to start to rebuild. Ryan has an elite fastball, not because of his fringe average velocity or ordinary movement, because of the low release height, blah, 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 blah. He's still in his 20s, has 2 years left of team control. The asking price will be high. 50% chance of getting traded. Team fits, Red Sox, Mets, Orioles, Rangers, Giants, Astros, like I said. So this is, I think, the key to it all. Joe Ryan. You trade for him, then, yeah, we'll spend on a bat or two. We'll spend a little bit, but we don't want to incur too much. That's why you go balls to the wall for someone like Joe Ryan, because he's under team control for two more years. You won't have to make a decision on paying him till at least next year. You could do it early if you wanted to, which you probably should, like you did with Crochet. But if you believe McAdam and his source, then that doesn't seem like a top priority for the Red Sox right now. It doesn't. Number seven on the list, Jarren Duran. Percent chance of getting traded, 50%. And they write, Red Sox are valuing Duran more like a 7-win player of 2024 than the 4-win version in 2025. And that's, you know, win shares. In 2024, he was an MVP candidate, 7 wins, now 4-win version in 2025. Either way, his addition can instantaneously make a team better, and Boston can hold out for a big return because the Red Sox don't have to deal him. At some point, the Red Sox have to move either Duran or Willie or Abreu. Keeping full-time quality players for less than full-time roles rarely works out very well. Duran has elite bat speed, foot speed, good arm. Physical tools can lead to a return to something like his star performance in 2024. His true talent level seems close to his 2025 production, which is still one of the top 35 position players in the sport. Duran has a ton of trade value because he's still in his 20s, 3 years left to control. Team fits, Tigers, Royals, Giants, Pirates, Phillies, Mets, Reds, Diamondbacks. Twins not on the list. Twins aren't looking to make those kind of trades. However, he does have 3 years of control. He wouldn't cost a lot. And if the Twins wanted to turn around and flip him to some other team and just load up on prospects and make that their whole thing, then they could do that too, if they wanted to. How about the Red Sox valuing Duran like he was in 2024 instead of how he is in 2025? I don't think that's a terrible strategy. But it did seem like they were a lot more gung-ho about trading him. And if they're now basically dangling him out there as an MVP candidate as opposed to a top 35 player, as you know, Passan wrote, then that could put up some serious roadblocks. Our team's desperate to bring in Jarren Duran, like the Red Sox or other teams might be desperate to bring in Joe Ryan or Freddie Peralta. I'm not sure about the answer to that question. I'm not sure if the answer to that question is yes. Jarren Duran, number 7. Willie Abreu, number 13 on the list. And here's what they write about Abreu. It's long been expected that either Duran or Abreu would be dealt once Roman Anthony arrived. Abreu is 3 years younger than Duran, won back-to-back gold gloves, and comes with 4 years of club control. He's an elite right fielder, ranked second in run save behind Tatis. He's going into his age 27 season this year. That's a peak age for most players. 50% chance of him getting traded. Tigers, Giants, Pirates, Phillies, Mets, Royals, Astros on the list there. Sedan Rafael is not on this list. And I don't think that he's going to get traded, but he has a pretty reasonable contract. He'd be more of a investment, since right now he's not great offensively. Abreu and Duran are both much better offensively. But it does seem like something's got to give here. And whatever that ends up turning into, I don't think the Red Sox are in any real need to restock their farm system unless they trade Duran for some prospects that they can then turn around and trade for Joe Ryan or something along those lines. Then I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this is all going to get navigated. For now, though, I will say that I do trust Craig Breslow in the offseason. Trade deadline, not so much, but in the offseason, he's earned at least a little bit of grace here. I like the Sonny Gray move. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next. I hope Sean McAdam's wrong. And there you go. There's your Red Sox Minute. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's take a quick call here before we go to break. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Hello, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, buddy.
I love the Red Sox Minute, but I got to go with Mike Vrabel thing, and it's going to be an unpopular opinion here, forgive me, but I do want your thoughts on it. Drake May was great last night. The Patriots were dominant. But after the game, there's a video the Patriots posted of Vrabel, celebrating with the team, and he starts out by saying, how about Ellis lights out, one clap, right? And I think what he's saying in that moment is he's like glorifying Ellis's lights out knockout of Gunnar Olszewski. I wonder if you agree with that. I'm not a guy who's like, oh, there shouldn't be hits in football, but I wouldn't want anyone on the Patriots getting knocked out unconscious, and I wouldn't want to see the other team celebrated if they did. So I thought that was kind of a bad look. Doesn't mean I don't, like Vrabel or want them to win, but in that moment, I thought that was kind of in poor taste. And, you know, I turned to Christian Arcan for the, you know, the overarching opinion.
Well, you're very wise to do that, Johnny, especially when it comes to matters of personal taste. I am definitely the guy you want to talk to about those types of things. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear him say Ellis lights out. It may have been in reference to Olszewski, yeah, Joe? Oh, okay. Let's hear it if you have it.
Ellis lights out, one clap. Marcus Jones, house call, one clap.
Okay. I mean, it could be read that way, sure. It could be read that way. Ellis had a couple of big hits in the game, and his hit on Olszewski was not an illegal hit. Does that mean you got to celebrate it in the locker room? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a gray area, I guess. Poor taste, maybe. He could very easily just, you know, say, no, I meant it about all the big hits that he had, not just that one.
You chose to be aggressive. And you chose to attack.
I don't have a problem with it. Not really. I wouldn't think that even Gunnar Olszewski would have much of a problem with it either. I think that's pretty common in NFL locker rooms. I think that sort of thing gets celebrated. Not, you know, knocking guys out or guys getting hurt or having serious head injuries or stuff like that. But guys going out there and laying big hits, not getting penalized for it. You know, that's the NFL. It's the way it works. I'm not gonna act like I have a problem with that. I don't. But I can see how someone might. It's just not something that bothers me. That said, I mean, another great win, and for Mike Vrabel, just another real example of how that locker room, he's right in tune with those guys, real finger on the pulse type stuff, and it is great to see. Oh, you know what else is great to see? I believe that is Red Panda at TD Garden right now.
Oh, she's back!
She's back. Red Panda has returned. If you don't know, Red Panda is the lady on the unicycle who has the bowls on, and she balances the bowls on her foot and then kicks them up into the air and then catches them on top of her head. And I thought that she had retired. I thought she was out of the game.
Well, no, I remember she the last time she performed, she like seriously hurt.
She got hurt, right? Yeah,
like she broke her wrist or something.
Yeah, you know what? I've never seen her actually start the act, so I don't know how she gets up there.
Like,
how does she get up there? You know, how do you get up there? Like, I figure there's like a guy in a ladder or something, but I've never actually seen her start her act. I don't know. How do you get up on the unicycle to begin with? It's not like water skiing where the boat's pulling you up or anything. Like you gotta somehow get up there. Like, you know, I've never stopped to think about it this long. Maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, Red Panda back. And from what I saw there in that clip from NBC, nailed it. Like she never left. Good for her. Good for Red Panda. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending, and we'll be right back with the Arcan Fire.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It's now 10 straight wins for the Patriots entering their bye week after last night's 33-15 win over the New York Football Giants on Monday Night Football. The Pats own the best record in the National Football League at 11-2. The only team in the NFL with 11 wins. They have a half-game lead on the Denver Broncos for the top seed in the AFC, and they have a 2.5-game lead on the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. Some other news around the NFL. The Steelers made some roster moves today. They claimed receiver Adam Thielen off of waivers from the Vikings. They've also parted ways with veteran quarterback Darius Slay. Also, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is day-to-day after undergoing successful surgery for a fractured left hand. Not looking good for the Bruins in Detroit on the second night of a home-and-home with the Red Wings. They are down 5-2 with about 9 minutes to go in the third period. Jeremy Swayman was pulled in this game after allowing his fifth goal. He made 18 saves on 23 save attempts. Yunus Korpisalo came in for him. Alex Steeves and Jonathan Aspero are the Bruins' goal scorers, but five goals, including Lucas Raymond, Ben Chiarot, and Alex DeBrincat for Detroit. Meanwhile, things are looking good for the Celtics as at halftime they lead 58-52. Leading score right now is Jaylen Brown with 22 points. No other Celtic is in double figures. He has 9 of 14 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3. The Celtics are only 4 of 17 from 3. Meanwhile, Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart each have 14 points to lead New York. And Bill O'Brien will return as head coach for Boston College after going 2-10 this season. Athletic Director Blake James said that they will increase its financial investment into the BC football program. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We'll get to the Arcan Fire in just a minute, but first, let's go to the phones. Mary Kate is in Franklin with a thought on the Patriots and the AFC East. Hi, Mary Kate.
Hi. Here's the deal. I think the Dolphins are going to win against the Patriots in the divisional round in the playoffs here because, yes, Tua is a better QB than Drake May.
That was a scorching hot take from Mary Kate right there. Tua, better than Drake May. The Dolphins, in order to accomplish what she's saying, would have to run the table, and in doing so, they would have to beat the Patriots in, what is that, week 16? No, it's the last, week 17 matchup against the Patriots in New England. Dolphins would have to go to New England. Tua would have to go to New England and beat the Patriots in Foxborough to get to 10 wins, which isn't even a guarantee that they make the playoffs with the 10 wins, but that would be the way they'd have to do it. Hey, listen, Mary Kay, you call back anytime you want because it gets tired of everybody talking about how great the Patriots are all day. Dolphins fans, you're going to lose in the division round? No one else is saying that, only Mary Kate and Franklin. So good on you. All right, without any further ado, let's get to it. It's time for the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
All right, I want to start with something we actually had on the docket yesterday but wasn't able to get to, and that's a little bit of MLB free agency news. We've seen a couple of moves made over the weekend, or at least since the time that we were off. The big one, obviously, is Devin Williams. He signed with the Mets for $52 million, which makes it the second straight offseason a Yankee has left to go play for the New York Mets. And then you also have Ryan Helsley. He's going to the Orioles for two for 28. So just in the latest in MLB free agency, where would you like to start with Devin Williams and Ryan Helsley?
I mean, I don't really have much on Helsley with Williams. I know that the Red Sox were, there was rumors about, you know, making a super pen and that he would be a guy that they'd bring in for the super pen, which whatever. But I didn't want Devin Williams. I'm surprised that the Mets decided to make a big financial commitment to him. His ERA was hovering around five. He was so bad for the Yankees that they had to go and trade for three more closers at the trade deadline. And one of them was actually good, but he wasn't. I mean, he was rough. He was tough. I did not. I mean, it was one season, I guess. He had four blown saves and had such a bad start that they pulled him out of there. I mean, he was like a co-closer for a while, and then, you know, then he just wasn't anymore. David Bednar ended up being their closer. I think he closed out every game that they won in the playoffs. I think he closed out. And it's just crazy because I remember that COVID year. I remember Devin Williams was supposed to be the next big thing in the majors. He was supposed to be this combination of, you know, Eric Gagne and K-Rod and, you know, so all these guys. And he just, it seemed like that was the path that he was on. He had that crazy ERA. He's a 0.33 ERA. It was unbelievable. And three seasons before being dealt to the Yankees, he had 65 saves and a 1.66 ERA. And not a guy that blows you away, not a guy that has a crazy hard fastball, but just, you know, just so much pinpoint control, breaking ball ability, just nasty pitches, keeping guys off balance, and you just didn't see hardly any of that this year. So I'm surprised. I'm a little surprised. I feel like if that's going to be one of those deals that sets the market, then, you know, it could get kind of wild. And whatever the Red Sox were thinking about in terms of a super pen, I would just assume that they take those plans and chuck them right out the window. Because if that's what it's going to cost to be bringing in closers, even not very good ones like Devin Williams, who wasn't very good last year, then I just assume you stay right out of that market. You cobble together a bullpen like you always do. If you need to make some moves, you do them during the year. But you keep Chapman at the end. You keep a couple of guys, you know, that you need where you need them, and just focus on those bats. Focus on another starting pitcher and at least two new bats. Because as I heard Lou Maloney say last week a couple of times, I heard him say it to Dan Ball and I think John Lyons as well, or maybe I'm mixing that up. I can't remember. It was the holidays. I don't know. But I remember Lou was on and he was talking about it and he goes, you know, bringing in Pete Alonso or bringing back Bregman, that's fine, but your offense wasn't enough last year. It wasn't. And you're probably going to be losing one of those, you know? Like, you're going to be losing Bregman more than likely. So bringing in Alonso is great.
Go get me a goddamn first baseman.
You have to do more than that. You have to. If you're serious about competing, if this is really something, because, yeah, Roman Anthony's going to get better and hopefully stay healthy, and that's going to be a big addition, and all that's great. But you can't lose guys from this team that were plus offensive players, not replace them, and expect that somehow those problems are going to be out the window just because Roman Anthony's back and, you know, playing well at the top of the lineup. Like, and I agree with that. I 100% do. I think that that's very pie in the sky. And for the Red Sox, they need to be very serious about this. And if that means abandoning the idea of the super pen, I'm fine with that. If Devin Williams is making $51 million, then I just assume they stay out of that business entirely.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
We do have to send our farewell to Danilo Gallinari, who announced his retirement. Gallo announced his retirement after 20-plus seasons at 37. I personally will remember the 15 minutes he spent with the Celtics. How are you going to remember the man known as Gallo?
I'll always remember when he was a rookie on the Nuggets. There's this great video clip of him hitting a big three at the end of a game. And as he's running back down the court, he blows sort of a kiss to the Nuggets bench. And everybody on the Nuggets bench, I know you can't see if you're listening on the radio, but if you're watching on Twitch, everyone on the Nuggets bench starts doing this. They start doing the thing that stereotypically, it's a stereotype and it's offensive, stereotypically that Italian people do, where they put they sort of make a little circle with their hands and their index finger and their thumb, and they put it up there and they go, you know, one of those.
You all make it a pizza pie.
Yeah. Exactly, one of those. That is what I'll always remember about Gallinari. He was a long career. Well, he was in the league for like 20 years. Guy's in the league forever.
16 in the NBA.
16 years in the NBA. What a career. Bounced all around. Pretty good player. Good shooter. Hard-nosed type of player, which, you know, for those Euro guys wasn't always the case. And a guy that I enjoyed watching. I liked him. I liked Gallinari. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious. When he hit that three and everyone started doing this. It's just really funny. So that's what I always remember about him.
Okay, there actually was something from Monday Night Football that you and I both missed, and Zach's going to help us out on the Twitch chat. There was a fan in the stands at Gillette Stadium who had the most weird support animal ever. You are seeing a man with his emotional support duck who's in a Patriots, little Patriots jersey, and it looked like a security person came over, just made sure, like, oh, yeah, that's the Ducks. So I guess give your thoughts on this man having an emotional support duck, and what's maybe the oddest support animals maybe you've ever seen.
I didn't see this last night. I didn't see this duck. I didn't see the guy with the duck. The guy seems pretty well adjusted. You know, he doesn't seem like someone who needs his duck with him. Otherwise, he just can't deal. He can't focus. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm just judging this off of this very brief video clip that you're seeing here. But that's what he said. They talked to him. He said, this is my emotional support duck. Because, I don't know. I mean, there's security at these games. They make sure you're not coming in there with something you're not supposed to have. I've never heard of anybody having an emotional support duck before. I don't know what sort of emotional support a duck can give to a human. Ducks aren't very, you know, like that duck seemed very well behaved. He was holding it in his hand, you know, like a little teapot. And the duck was just chilling. Duck didn't seem bothered by the noise or the crowd or the weather or any of that stuff. Duck was doing good.
So actually, here's the story from Fun 107 down in Rhode Island. This is Dawn, who's a one-year-old duck from Providence, became unexpected celebrities. Her owner, Justin Thames, didn't bring a bird to a football game. It's the most ordinary place possible, the dog food aisle at Tractor Supply.
Wait. The guy didn't bring the duck to a football game? Yes, he did.
Well, he's saying that's where he found the duck. In the
He found the duck in the...
In the dog food aisle at Tractor Supply.
Okay.
Thames walked in for a bag of kibble and walked out with a duckling that had just hatched hours earlier.
It hatched inside the store? Okay. So it's his pet duck? It's not his emotional support duck is what it sounds like.
Dawn has become a registered service duck with her own lawyer, manager, security detail, cameraman, jeweler, and yes, an LLC.
A registered service duck. Sounds like an episode of Looney Tunes. I'm your service duck. Okay. Picture Daffy Duck with like a little hat. Listen, I understand. I mean, the service animal industry is a real thing. There's emotional support animals. I never heard of a duck, though. Never heard of one being a duck. And it sounds like, you know, this guy rescued this duck, which was hatched inside of the Tractor Supply? Why was there a duck hatching in a Tractor Supply store? Doesn't matter. That's not besides the point. The point here is that I thought that animals had to go through certain training to become support animals, right? Like they, right? Isn't that how that works? You can't just give any animal to some guy and be like, here's your emotional support, you know, hedgehog or something, and then the thing bites the guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like it has to be, have a certain temperament. It has to be a certain kind of thing. And it sounds like this duck was just a duck that got born in a store and the guy was there and brought it home, and now the duck is a support duck. That doesn't track. I don't quite follow that. And also, he has his own jeweler. Is that what you said? He's got his own. It sounds like this duck is just, I don't know what this duck is. Is this guy trying to get famous with the duck? Like, is this like an act? You know, Joe and the duck. Like, I don't know. It's like Limu Emu and Doug. Is it one of those type of things? What's his deal?
No, he just a registered service duck, and she has her own, as I said, lawyer. She has a manager.
She has a lawyer? Why does she have a lawyer? Why does a duck need a lawyer?
To argue that the duck can be allowed in the stadiums and other places.
Okay. Is the lawyer also a duck? I'm your lawyer, Daffy Duck. Okay. Okay, I don't really have anything else to say about that.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
I know, there's no clean transition from emotional and service.
Do your best.
But I'll do what I can here. Obviously, we're going to stick with the Patriots for my point. Just talking about last night's. I know I soured a little bit on Drake May because he didn't have those flashy numbers, at least from the time I had the point about being in the MVP, but I was looking at it through the eyes of the voters. But my personal opinion, I do think Drake May is back in the lead in terms of MVP favorites until he stumbles, which I don't really see him stumbling. And even if he does, like if the Patriots were to lose to the Bills or the Ravens, unless he has a really, really bad game, I don't see any reason why he should be knocked down a peg. If Matthew Stafford has another great game and bounces back with another 300-yard, four-touchdown performance, then I could see it. But I'm with you. I think right here, right now, Drake May is the MVP favorite, and he should be at least in the top two in terms of consideration by season's end.
There you go. That's Joe Braverman. That is the producer's point. All we have left is the very famous, very popular clickbait. It comes to you right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Clickbait.
It's time for Clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. It's time for Clickbait. And tonight, there is a influencer, guy on TikTok, who's come under fire here for videos he's made involving homeless people. Let's take a listen.
An online influencer known as Povolfi went viral after handing out 18-inch machetes and even alcohol to homeless people in cities like Austin and New Orleans, claiming it was for their safety. The reckless stunt drew widespread condemnation from critics and experts who warned that mixing weapons and booze is a recipe for disaster.
Couple of things. Number one, is that a real person talking right there? I don't think it is. I think that was AI. I think that was an AI news report, which I'm the one who put it in the email, so that's my bad. And I mentioned something about it earlier, but and I know there was like a video attached to it too, but something about that voice and the delivery, I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good sense for these things. Either way, it's a real story. This guy's a real guy. His name is, I believe, Kevin Olivero, and his thing is he goes around... Or it's not Kevin. What's the guy's name? Hold on one second. He goes around basically to various areas, approaches homeless people, and hands them machetes, like real machetes, bottles of alcohol, and cigarettes. That's what I saw him doing in the videos that I saw. His name's Kevin Castillo, not Olivero. Kevin Castillo. His TikTok handle is POV Wolfie. He's on TikTok and Instagram, and he posted a video on Thanksgiving that garnered over 14 million views. And in the video, you see him handing a large machete to a homeless guy. The guy takes this as hell yeah. One lady asks for another machete. She wants more than one machete. And the caption reads, "Keeping the homeless in the streets. Stainless steel Gordon brand machetes were still wrapped in packaging." The guy told the New York Post he purchased them in bulk from the online realtor Harbor Freight for less than $5 each. You can get a machete for under $5? Seems like a glitch in the matrix there. In another video posted on the 22nd, Castillo hands out four unwrapped machetes alongside large handles of vodka to people in New Orleans. November 20th, he distributed seven machetes that he termed big-ass swords in what he claimed was an effort to keep homeless folks safe. He's 29 years old, and he's on a nationwide tour which started in October, is currently in Little Rock, Arkansas. He travels around, records in one city, then goes to another city, does the same thing there for a couple of weeks, and just drives all around. So far, he's given machetes to homeless people in Austin, New Orleans, and Little Rock. Says he plans to go to Vegas, Skid Row, and that he should be in New York in January. I have lots of friends out there. Going to hand out a lot of machetes and bottles of Fireball. Sometimes I'll do a story that I read, and like as I read it, I think, well, I'll definitely have something like really big to say about this. I don't know what there's really what you can say about this. Guys going around giving people weapons and alcohol and then leaving and going to another city and doing the same thing. There's lots and lots of ways that this could clearly go badly. The thing is, if you can buy machetes for $5, then, you know, a homeless person begging can get $5 and go just buy a machete anyway. I think I'm more appalled that machetes are so cheap than I am that this guy is going around giving them to people. Because anybody could do this. You know, anybody could buy a bunch of machetes if they wanted to. You could buy four machetes for $20. You know, that's not saving up that long, you know, even if you are unhoused. Like, I'm just saying, that's a crazy thing. This guy's obviously a giant a-hole, no question about it. And I'll say this, though. I don't know if he's a bigger a-hole than those people who go around filming themselves giving, like, money and food to homeless people. Those people are a-holes, too. I don't know if they're as big a-holes as this guy. It's probably like, neck and neck. But, you know, how about you just leave homeless people alone? Or if you want to help them, actually help them. Don't give them machetes. And if you're going to help him out, you don't have to make a big show about it. But yeah, maybe the machetes and the booze is a bad idea. I'm gonna go on record and say I think that's also a bad idea.
That's a good prediction.
I'm out on a limb here. I'm really, genius stands alone on this one, but I think that may in fact be a bad idea. That's all the time we have here tonight. Want to say thanks to Doug Kide for joining me here. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, another full 4-hour show. Can't wait. Talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night now. I'm your service duck. I'm your lawyer, Daffy Duck.
That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.